Hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord tonight? And if you would, lift up your hands and tell him again tonight. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for letting me be your child. I'm unworthy of it. I'm undeserving of it, but I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I'm going to worship you tonight in your house. Hallelujah. I love you today. I love you, Jesus. I brought to you my offering, my sacrifice of praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad to be on the Lord's side. Amen. Hallelujah. You'd have thought that your pastor would have was here the way that he was speaking just a few minutes ago when we had church last week, and he was had those other obligations. We talked about that, didn't we? About the spiritual warfare and the barriers of hell, the gates of hell. Hallelujah. The gates that the enemy puts in the way of his people and revival. Hallelujah. Whether it be things, big things, little things, anything that he can do to distract us and get our eyes off of what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Those gates, those barriers that he put. But what did we learn the other night? The gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. My mind's made up. There's something I want from God. And there's something God wants to give me. Hallelujah. Lord, we want it. We want it. Our minds in one accord today. For the Bible, for the move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The enemy fights. The enemy. He rails and wars against the church, against the people of God. But probably the easiest way to see if you're on the right side or not is see if the wrong side's fighting you. Yeah. Right. If the devil's fighting you, that means you're on the right side. That means you're doing right. That means that there's something. Come on, the devil, he doesn't fight people that are just going with the flow and just, he's not worried about those folks. He's worried about people that get their mind made up. I want revival. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be saved. Hallelujah. But let them come. Come on, I said let them come against the church. Let them attempt the gates of hell. Shall not prevail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah, no weapon that the enemy uses. In fact, how many times in Scripture do we find where an enemy was formed, a weapon, was formed against the people of God, and God turned that weapon around, and he put it right upon the head of those that were wielding that weapon. Hallelujah, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm on God's side, aren't you? I said I'm on God's side today. Hallelujah, the sign of revival, of life, of truth. In Jesus' name, Sister Clark, would you come get ready to sing tonight? And you can be seated, church. And we're just happy to be here. So happy. And I'm no stranger to and you know, whatever situations your pastor's talking about, I don't know anything about him. Your pastor hasn't told me one thing about him, and I like it that way. I prefer it that way. And that way, if the Holy Ghost hits me in the message, I know it was the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It wasn't me trying to form a message. But I know that's his intention of keeping me out of the loop. And I'm no stranger. Like the Scripture said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We've seen that the church has seen there's nothing new under the sun. Right. Anything the devil tries now, he's already tried before. It didn't work then, it's not going to work now. Hallelujah. We've a God that's bigger. We've a God that's greater. We're the people of God. We're the church of God. And whenever the people of God come together in unity, whether it be 300 against a mighty army under the leadership of Gideon, whether it be just a people with not even swords in their hand being led by Jehoshaphat, whoever it is, if they're under the banner of God and bound together in that purpose of a move of God, God wins. God wins. God's people always come out on top. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord today? Don't you love him? Aren't you glad for where God's brought you from tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just sang that song a few minutes ago. He set me free. He set me free. I once was in bondage, and I was depressed, and I was sick, and I was in not just physical pain, but emotional and spiritual pain. But God rescued me. God saved me. Hallelujah. There's a song. It's been around a while now. I'm sure you've heard it. But let's worship the Lord with this tonight. Sing it with us today.
Lost as could be.
thank you, Lord, for the freedom of my old man. The freedom, Lord, from who I once was. The freedom from that old way of thinking. Hallelujah. What your pastor calls stinking thinking. Lord, you freed me from it. Hallelujah. You gave me a new life. You gave me purpose. You gave me a family. You gave me a new family, church. You gave me a pastor. You gave me truth. You gave me salvation. You healed my mind. You touched my mind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God's done so much for each and every one of us. And you know what's even awesome? Awesomer, if that's a word. He ain't done yet. He ain't done yet. He's still working. Hallelujah. He's still working on me. He's still shaping me, molding me. Hallelujah. I want to be as the clay in the hands of the potter. Hallelujah. That if there's a mar, if there's an inadequacy, an imperfection, that the master can take my life and who I am, and he can just break me back down and then mold me into his image. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, what you've already done in my life. But God, I want you to keep working. Keep working. Keep working. Hallelujah, Lord, keep working. I want to keep living in victory day after day. Don't let me slip back into my own ways. Lord, don't let me slip back into that death that I lived in before. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, revival. Revival, revival. Hallelujah, lives changed, rearranged, people baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then fighting devils. All part of revival. All part of revival. Why are you standing today? And if you would turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And how exciting it is that tonight we're going to see another born of the water. Hallelujah. Baptism. And that Jesus, of course, said that we must. He said, verily, verily, I say it to thee. Hallelujah. You must be born again. Of the water and of the Spirit. Yes, and the born of the water, of course, that is the watery grave of baptism. And when we go down, that old man, those sins that we've repented of, they are remitted, the Bible says, for the remission, the washing away, the passing away of those sins. They're left in that water. And it says when you come out, you're going to be a brand new person. Born again, a brand new baby. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For what you're doing today, God. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9. There'll be a few verses here. Then in the book of Isaiah chapter 28. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. You better say amen.
Amen.
Most of you. The rest of you need to get better at sword drills.
Amen.
Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God.
With.
Yeah.
Together.
Come on.
With God.
With God.
Yes, sir.
Unity.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Together.
Together.
We, the church, laborers together. Together, not each trying to outdo the other,
together.
But laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. Thereupon, he's saying, "Me, Paul's liking himself unto the master builder. He's laid the foundation. He's preached the word. He's laid the foundation. Every life can be built. But then he says, let each man, let every single person here tonight, take heed, be careful how you build upon this foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have a foundation today? A sure, stable foundation that God wants to build not only his church, but this revival upon. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 28, verse number 16, one verse here, says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Hallelujah. "He that believeth shall not make haste." In other words, he's going to be careful what he's doing, how he's building upon this foundation. In Jesus' name, Lord, speak to somebody tonight. I know what I feel in my heart today. And I pray that you would somehow, through this scripture, this message today, the service as a whole, would just strengthen your church like never before in this city. Bind us together, God, give unity. And Lord, let the foundation be laid for a mighty revival in this city, God. Let the foundation be sure and stable in Jesus' name. The church say, Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You can be seated tonight. Hallelujah. Good to see each and every one of you here. And it just seems that last night, tonight, both of these messages, and this is not an apology, please hear me, this is not an apology, but both of these messages seem, and while they are helpful and useful, and God can speak to anybody, including the first-time visitor, I believe through both of these messages, both about the Word of God and hearing the Word of God, and tonight about the foundation, that they do seem to be kind of focusing on the church and on us. And again, that's not an apology. It's just what God wants to do and what God's working on. We want revival, and we want the 10, the 15, 20 soul revivals, and I've seen them. I've been a part of them. I've been blessed to be a preacher in some of those revivals. But every time that they came, it came once the foundation was stable and ready, and the mama was ready to give birth to healthy babies and to raise those babies up. Come on, that's what we want. That's what we want God to do. This isn't a charge against you. You've already heard me brag on you. This is a good church. I love preaching here. I'm so glad Brother Newman enabled us to be here. God enabled us to be here. I'm glad for that. But we want God, don't we? We want God to do all that he wants to do with us. I pray that when we leave this house tonight, that as a church we are closer to him than we've ever been before. We're stronger and more focused, and we're not worried about other things, and we're not concerned about other things, and our mind is on God and what God wants to do. Hallelujah. The foundation, a precious cornerstone, sure foundation, the writer said. On August the 9th, and if I can speak a little history here, and on August the 9th, 1173, that was a long time ago, and you thought I was going to say 2017, didn't you? But about 900 years ago, there was a foundation laid, or 800 years ago, for what was to be a 185-foot campanile, or a freestanding bell tower, and it was built in Italy for the Cathedral of Pisa. And of course, this is what we now know as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And you see where I'm going already, don't you? And this tower, of course, would be known of as that because due to its pronounced 5.5-degree lean. And here we are, a little over 800 years later, and after dozens of extensive corrections and repeated attempts at avoiding its inevitable collapse, the tower's gradual fall is now. It's only just recently been halted. There's been, in the 90s, there was a project done. There were some engineers brought in, and they determined that if nothing was done, that tower would collapse within 10 to 15 years. And that was the lifespan they gave. So they poured millions of dollars into it. They did great excavations and even even now it is only suspended at its lean and not tumbling the rest of the way down because of 600 tons of lead weights that are suspended and resting on the foundation on the north side of the tower. And they're ugly, they're unsightly. You know, the postcards you get, they try to get the angle right or Photoshop them out of the picture, but that's the only thing keeping that tower from collapsing. And you know, this when you go into the history of this tower, and I read quite extensively on it, it's interesting. It's tragic, it's humorous, it's all those things put together. But you can see the if you went and you measured and you took the time to scope out how the building was built, you can see, Brother Newman, that by the fourth floor. Now this is 185 foot tall. We're talking once you get about maybe one fifth of the way up, you can see that already the builders had noticed a lean. I mean, right up, it's not 500 years later that a big storm came through and that thing started leaning. But I mean, before it was built, by the fourth floor. You know why? Because you can see how on the north side, they started making the walls a few inches shorter than on the south side. So to make matters worse, not only is it leaning, but it's built like a banana. It curves all the way up. They were trying to correct for that lean. They were trying to kind of at least make it not as noticeable once they got to the top. And you know what the tragedy is? Especially considering that it has become the laughing stock of architecture. It's become a laughing stock. It's become the perfect example of poorly designed, poorly constructed, poorly engineered buildings. But what the tragedy is, it's not poorly constructed. When you look at it's beautifully made. It's made of the finest marble. The stones are so cut so precise and with such an exact measure that there's hardly any mortar in that entire building. They're just so interlocked, so tight. It still stood for that many years, for 800 years. You look at the carvings and the designs that the marble holds. It's made of the finest grade of Italian marble. What potential? Come on, what potential? It has all the ingredients. It has everything needed to be the masterpiece that the patron, that the man that sponsored the building, he envisioned it to be. Everything, Brother Newman, it is there. All the ingredients. He brought the best masons. He was very wealthy. This wealthy patron of Pisa, that sponsor, he brought the best. He hired the best. He brought in the best. And yet it's become a laughing stock.
Yeah.
And you know why? All of its attributes, all of its achievements are lost in its one fault. Lost. We even tie it right into the name, don't we? The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Aren't you glad people don't do that to us? Well, Trump did. You remember back in the elections, he had a way to, whether you agree with him, whether you like him or not, he had a way he would stick with you. He'd call him Lying Ted, Crooked Hillary, Low Energy Jeb Bush. That was the best he could do for Jeb Bush, I guess. But that he would find a fault, and he made it part of his identity. That one glaring fault, and that's exactly. I'm glad people don't do that to us. I'm glad that people don't say, "Well, man, so good to see you. Always late for church, Brother Clark. So good to see you. Never shows up on time for work party, so and so." I'm glad they don't do that to me. But we do that to this building. All of its great potential is ignored and lost in that one fault. That one. thought, it goes right and completely to the foundation upon which it was built. They dug around it. They tried to see why this building leans. They tried to see why. And then they got down just a few feet. They found out exactly why. You want to know why? The original construction. Now, this makes no sense. People that are builders in this church, I know there's a few of you, and you're going to understand what I mean. Here we have a cylindrical building, 185 feet tall, and they dug the foundation 3 meters deep, 18 feet deep. Now, that might sound deep to you. Let me tell you, this church has a basement or a crawl space. I bet you that the foundation for this church is half of that, and it's a one-story building. But 185 foot, yeah, they just dug down 18 feet. And it's not that they dug down and hit bedrock. It's not that they said, well, look, at this is firm. Let's do here. No, it was in clay. 18 feet down in clay. They stopped next to a river. In a river. I mean, it gets worse. It's bad decision after bad decision when it came to the foundation. No expense was spared when it came to what everybody could see.
All right.
Today. I said no expense was spared when it came to what everybody else could see, to what was presented, to what was evident. Oh, but when it got down where it really mattered, when it got down to underneath the surface, there were some things that were lacking. There were some things that were not right. And it was the foundation. The foundation was off. This foundation, that this building was doomed before it ever hit ground level. Before the first course of marble was ever laid, this building was doomed. Because the foundation wasn't right. The foundation. Any builder will tell you the foundation is the most fundamentally vital part of a structure, of an edifice. When I first started evangelizing, I was working construction, and I was framing houses, and I worked for framing outfit out of Lacey, Lacey, Washington. I hope that you guys don't hire them to build your house. And I don't think that you'll have to worry about that. They're 1,000 miles away. But I'll tell you what, some of those houses we built, and they were kind of the track homes, but they were the we build your track home on your lot type of deal. And I mean, we got paid piecework. It was percentage, and they paid it that way all the way through every stage of construction. I was just framing, but they paid us all that way. And so if we weren't throwing a house up a week, literally framing a two-story, four or five-bedroom house in a week, we were losing money. That's what they told you. What our motto was? It was, hey, we're not building cabinets. Nail it. Now, we're not, no, don't sweat a quarter inch. Sometimes you wouldn't sweat a half inch. Nail it. Good enough. Good enough. Let the sheetrockers cover it up. Come on, they'll deal with it. But every stage of construction was like that. I remember there was one house in particular, and I've talked about this house all over the country. Eventually, I'm going to run into the poor soul that owns that house. But we were in Hopewell, Washington, and we pulled up. The foundation crew, they left. They had the J-bolts in, and our building pack was already there. All the I-joists were pre-cut in there. They were delivered, and we started laying them out. And of course, they always looked a little sloppy. There was always some little concrete, that squirted out of the forms. But, we didn't worry about that. But we laid that first joist, and it fit all right. And we had done our layout. And so we laid the next floor joist all the way across. And it still fit. And about a fourth joist, I think, is where we really started to notice it, Brother Newton. It's getting tight. Getting a little snug, that joist. And we just took a hammer, hammered it in. And we got to the next one, and it was a little bit tighter. And about 5 or 6, 7 more, we got the steel saw out. We're cutting off half an inch. We're cutting off 3/4 of an inch. By the time to the other side of that house, we found out that foundation was 3 inches out of square. 3 inches. You say, well, that's not very much. Oh, it is. It's a lot. It's a, it messes everything up. Everything up. You lay your walls out, you know, you lay them out to 16 inches on center, you lay those out, it messes up the sheetrockers, it messes up the roofers. I mean, the roofers, we get up there with up on the very top, they're going to be all messed up saying, what in the world? Look at this, we got our end of our roof doing this. It's out of square, it's off, it's wrong. We tried to cheat it. Those poor builders did on the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know, they're like, hey, let's just start cheating a little bit. See if we can straighten this thing out. Hey, it was hopeless. I said it was hopeless.
Yeah.
We cheated it a half inch on the joists. We cheated it a half inch on the floor. We cheated it a half inch on the walls. Half inch on the next floor. Half inch on those walls. Half inch on the roof. By the time we got done with that house, it was built like a spiral. It just spiraled up. We cheated that thing so much. Come on, the foundation. Yeah. I said the foundation was off. Everything was messed up because the foundation was off. Was off. Was not right. We read Matthew 7. Can I just teach a little bit tonight? I know this is revival, brother. Brother Newman, he can deduct it from my check. He thinks this ain't revival. So but I feel like preaching this today. Matthew chapter 7, this Sunday school lesson. Jesus gives us the parable related to the foundation that we must build in God. In Matthew 7:24, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Last night, who has an ear? Whoever has an ear, let him hear what the word. When the pastor preaches, when the pastor even does like he did tonight and exhorts and shows you a scripture and you hear it, he said, if you hear these sayings of mine, you do them. You do it. He said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Descended and the floods came. Come on, the enemy fought. The devil threw everything. Even just things of life happened. Oh, but you know what happened? The winds, when they blew and beat upon the house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, though, it says that everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came. Hallelujah. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The rain.
Great was the fall.
The very same storm. The very same events took place.
Yeah.
This wasn't a different storm. In fact, when we read chapter 6 of the book of Luke, it proves the point I'm going to make here in a second. But you know what the difference between these two houses was? It was not geographic location.
Yeah.
I can prove it to you. It was not a different location. Sand. Where does sand accumulate? Top of bedrock. It's the only place that sand accumulates. The way that sand mixes and mingles with soil, the only place you find sand is directly on top of bedrock. These houses, they were built right next to each other. They lived on the same pew. They might have been kids growing up in the same house, had the same pastor, had the same parents, had the same teaching. These two houses were right there. But what was the difference? What was the difference? You know what it is? It's that one of them took the time. One of these builders took the effort to take a shovel and get down on their knees and start digging. And they dug till they hit rock. Their foundation was right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Let me prove it. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. This is Luke's account of the same parable. Whosoever cometh to me, heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and what? Dig deep. That's the difference. Dig deep. And built his house, laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. I want you to notice in verse 48, Jesus said, when the flood arose. He didn't say if the flood arose. He said when. When. Come on, let me tell somebody today, that flood will rise. The storm will come. There will come those that accuse. There will come those that tear down. The devil will throw things against the church and against you and against your family and against your pastor. But the difference is that when those storms came, there was some that were on their foundation was right. Their foundation was secure. They were not shaken. They were not moved because they taken the time to dig deep. Those that had outward edifice, the outward construction, I bet even some of them, they looked like they were a little farther along. But those that had spent all that time, wasted all that time on a foundation.
Now. Yeah.
These two started at the same time. Man, one of them, he already had his walls up. One of them, he's already flying trusses. He's got his hardy plank delivered. He's nailing hardy plank siding on the side. He looks over at his neighbor, and all he's got is a hole in the ground.
Still digging.
So he's got, hey man, what are you ever going to do? And you know, I really almost hesitate to go here. But there were young men in my fellowship I grew up with.
All right.
My age. That felt the same call to preach that I do.
Yes, I have.
And some of them, man, they hit the ground running. They were ready to do everything for God. But where are they today? Some of them didn't amount to anything. Some of them hardly even in church. Why? Because they got those walls up. They were running, but they didn't take the time.
Come on.
To make sure their foundation was right.
Come on.
To dig deep. Amen. This isn't to discourage any young man or any person from working for God.
Right.
But it's a challenge to you to make sure before you do, get your foundation right.
Yes.
Get your foundation right. Dig your foundation.
Amen.
Make sure your life, make sure your faith is built on what it ought to be built upon.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When that storm in your life comes, come on, there's come a time when you are embattled, whether it be without or whether it be within. It might not even be an external conflict. It might be an internal conflict. It might be a battle with your flesh. It might be a battle with your lust. It might be a battle with your addiction, with depression. It might be sickness. It might be tragedy. And I pray that none of us have to experience this, but it might be losing a child or losing a spouse or some unimaginable thing or event that brings grief to our life. But when that storm comes, if your foundation is not right, if you're not built, I'm not talking about what you look like to everybody else. I'm not talking about to what that tower is made of. I'm talking about the foundation.
Yes.
Jesus said, immediately it fell. Hallelujah. But if we're built on that foundation
right.
of Jesus Christ and Him crucified,
yeah.
All right. The sound doctrine,
right.
The oneness of God, hallelujah, if not, we will fall. We're founded on Christ, the rock, Deuteronomy 32:3. He said, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth. Without iniquity, just and right is he. He's sure. Said he's a rock. He's stable. His word is sure. Matthew 16 and 13 says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am the Son of Man am? I read this as my text the other night. Verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. Hallelujah. But my Father which is in heaven, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this revelation of who I am, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock, this sure foundation. 2 Timothy 2 and 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is in the context of the foundation. The foundation. What's he saying? You can't build a foundation on top of sin. You can't build on top of iniquity. You can't build your life, your family, your faith, your church, your walk with God on top of complainings. You can't build your walk with God on top of questions and doubt. And God doesn't even build a revival on top of those things. He said the foundation of God standeth sure. He knows those that are his. Let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Hallelujah. I'm going to let God build my life into the edifice that he wants me to be. Remember he said, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. I'm God's building. And he wants me to be built on this sure foundation. I've got to make sure I've taken the time to dig away all of that stuff. How else am I going to dig but getting on my knees? How else am I going to dig but getting on my knees and saying, God, remove all this stuff. That there's still some sand under there. There's still some flesh I'm dealing with. There's still some iniquity, God. And I want to make sure I stand the test of time. I want to make sure that I'm here till you come for me, God. Oh, Lord, I want my foundation to be on the rock. On you. God, get all this other stuff out. Get all this doubt. This fussing, this fighting, these questions, this strife. Get all this attention onto the things of the enemy. Get all this attention to the things of the world. Get it out of my mind, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, help me, God. I'm digging tonight. I want my marriage. I want my home to make it. I don't want my marriage to fail. And Lord, I'm making sure the foundation's right for it today. I'm getting anything that might be in the way out of the way tonight. I'm digging it out of the way tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, if we do that excavation, how are we going to dig with pouring our house, our hearts out before God, consecrating, scraping away bit by bit our dreams, our fears, our flesh, our hurts, our opinions, until our foundation is built on Christ, built on Him. Lord, I want you to send a revival. A mighty revival. This pastor, this church wants it. We want those folks here tonight that need the Holy Ghost. They're dependent upon it. They're dependent upon it, God. There's folks here tonight, God, here tonight seeking the Holy Ghost. Help them to see the only way they're going to get it is if they get the foundation right. Get the foundation. Get the blocks right. Start scraping away all that other stuff. Get it out of the way. Come on, don't build the building first. Don't expect God to fill the building. We don't even have the foundation for it laid yet. Don't expect God to fill the edifice, the building that is your life, if we don't even have a hole in the ground yet to pour the foundation. But here tonight, God, I'm focusing on that one point. I'm making sure my foundation. Foundation, Ephesians 2 and 19. Let me close with this scripture. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Hallelujah. We, the church, we're a household. We're a family. Hallelujah. I think somebody made a statement in his last night. We pick at each other. My families, we make it right. We get right. This world's full of dysfunctional families. This world's full of dysfunctional families. Some parts of our country, even our world, I mean, it seems that single parents are more common than a whole home. Dysfunctional homes everywhere. Strife. Horrible things going on in the homes between siblings and parents. But that's the world.
Right.
God's family, this isn't a dysfunctional family.
Right.
They're dysfunctional. The church ain't. Church ain't. Right. We love one another. We pray for one another. We support one another.
Yes.
We help one another. Hallelujah. We reach down when our brother falls. We don't kick him. When our sister falls, we don't point fingers and mock. No, we reach down, we pick them up. If they're hurting, we put their arm over our shoulder and say, come on, come with me. Let's go back to an altar. Come on, we're a family. We're a family. Let's get the foundation. He said, we're built the foundation. We're fellow citizens, the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself. Being the chief cornerstone, would you stand with me tonight? Sister Barb, would you come to the music? Hallelujah. I just feel in my heart today, we need to do some excavation. Come on, church. Some of us need to do some excavation. Perhaps not all. Perhaps not all. But some of us here tonight, we're like that leaning tower of Pisa. On the outside, on the things where everybody's been able to see, that's where we put all our investment. That's where we put all of our time, all of our effort, making sure everything's just right. But deep down, there's some questions. Deep down, there's some inadequacies. There's some inadequacies. And if I'm going to withstand the storm of the enemy, I'm going to withstand the winds of accusation, the winds of strife. My foundation needs to be right tonight. Tonight. Hallelujah. From a new convert, from those that are getting baptized, just got baptized, seeking the Holy Ghost, all the way to the saint that's had the Holy Ghost 30, 40 years. I wonder, could we find a place to pray tonight and say, God, I want my foundation to be right. I want my foundation. I'm taking a walk around the foundation today. I'm taking a walk around, and we just sold a house. We just sold a house up in Idaho. Before that bank would put any money on that house, there was an inspector that came out and he inspected that foundation. You know what he was looking for? He was looking for cracks. He was looking for any chips, any chinks, anything that any moisture that had seeped in and split it and caused division and separation in that foundation. And he was looking because if it was, we were going to have to go back and fix that foundation. situation, we were going to have to go back and patch and strengthen and maybe drill and make sure it was right, make sure everything was right. Even go back again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Speak to us tonight. Talk to somebody right now, tonight, God. Right now, tonight, God, if there's any impurity in my life, if there's any sin in my life, if there's any iniquity, anything that you're not pleased with, God, I repent of it. I repent of it. I'm sorry, God. Let me dig through it tonight. I can't feel my foundation on top of that. But God, I want to be right. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. I want to be a structured God. Worthy of you inhabiting God.
That you can count on.